chapter 2 to start out. Part of this is for me and part of this is for you, so somewhat convicted this week a little bit some things, but you know, the world can be a frustrating place. You know, we see the things going on and people doing things that's just not right. People cheating and doing things. Yeah, you know, even at the Olympics, you know, one country was using a drone to scout out the soccer teams practicing to get an advantage and got penalized for it. You know, we've got men and women sports. You know, it's dangerous. The opening ceremonies, you know, that we saw, it's hard not to be frustrated that that's going on and seeing those things. And then we've got, you know, the bombings that's going on in Israel and other places. You know, it's Hamas and Hezbollah and all the things going on. And it's just hard not to wish bad things on some of those people. I get frustrated but... So sometimes it's a little hard not to judge others. We know we're not to judge, but it's a struggle sometimes. And sometimes that's what, you know, churches and Christians, you know, we're known for. We're called. We judge people. We do have discernment. Discernment's a wonderful thing. God gives us discernment. But yeah, we're not to judge. We're not to judge eternity for people. But it's hard not to be angry. It's hard not to be disgusted. It's hard not to be emotional about the things we see going on and the harm that it's causing to people. And it's hard not to want those who are doing these things to be stopped and punished. And sometimes we even come up with punishment in our mind, you know, what should be done. And we decide what should happen to them. But, you know, that's God's job. And God's reminding us that, you know, we're all going to be judged. And I'm going to be in that Romans 2, verses 1 through 11. I want to read that passage. It says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism." So we need to be careful. We need to watch out. We need not to be judgmental. You know, judge and you shall be judged. You know, and it works for not only these, what I call bigger things, but things in life. You know, somebody says something, makes us mad, you know, so we determine that, okay, well, we're not going to talk to them anymore. We're not going to do anything for them anymore. You know, we write them off. Well, that's a judgment. We judge them that they're not worthy of my time or my energy. And that goes a long ways with what people say to us and how we react. So we can't be judgmental. Romans 12, I want to skip over to Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. First thought, this is a lot of godly advice, but it's not advice, it's commands. He's telling us what to do. He's telling us to kill him with kindness. If you want to kill him with kindness. And, you know, the coals, do kind things. And the thought is the coals will burn down and they'll realize, what's wrong. But, judge others and be judged. We see all the evil in others, but when you look in ourselves, you need to look inside ourselves. You say, well, I never did anything that bad. Maybe not. We could always compare ourselves. So, but in God's eyes, what have we done? In God's eyes, how do we look to Him? Not just other people, because God's going to judge us individually based on our choices and our actions. It doesn't matter what the other person did. It matters what we do with God. And he says there are no favorites. So there are no favorites. Judgment by God is fair. It's just for every person. And we know some will have eternal life and some will receive God's wrath and anger. He says to show goodness. Show goodness to everyone. Don't think you're better than them. You may think you haven't done anything as awful, but you don't have anything to worry about based on other people. But again, God knows everything. There's no secrets from God. He knows you inside and out. It's about you and God. There's no comparison to other people because that doesn't matter. It's between God and you. And Christians are to live to higher standards. We have God's standards to live by. And if we have His Spirit in us, then the fruit of the Spirit should be dominant in our life. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those should dominate our life. The Holy Spirit's in us. We can. But again, that's our choice to do. But the fruit of the Spirit should be what people see in our lives. It says, as far as it does up to you, live in peace. Even that guy in the car that cuts you off, or the person that passes several people in the lane that's going to close down and then tries to jump over at the very end, or the person that only drives in the passing lane very slowly, or the person that is driving slowly until you go to pass and then they speed up. Not that any of these things bother me, but they might bother you. So I too am a work in progress. So I have things I have to work on. So, but don't let other people's actions determine your response. That's where we have choices. Don't let other people's actions determine your response. Don't let the traffic people determine your reaction, how you react, or at least bad ones. Maybe they have a good excuse. I don't know. I doubt it, but possibly they might have a good excuse. But Old Testament used to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus came and gave us a new way, a better way, a reminding way is love. Instead of battling it out, you love them. Instead of putting them to death, you love them to death. You love them in a way they can see. It gives us the two commands, and it's all through, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We've been reading the Bible studies, and it's throughout the New Testament, is love God and love others. And it's not that hard to get along. It really isn't. And then he says, you show love by following his commands. You show love to God by following his commands. And his commands are to love God and love others. So it's a circle. You obey his commands, you will love each other. And I think especially brothers and sisters in Christ, we should love one another, brothers and sisters. Don't take revenge. Don't judge the people and mete out whatever you think they deserve. That's up to God. Leave it in God's hands. There are two men talking, and one was a young Christian man, and some reason, the one man just reached out and smacked him on the side of the face, you know, smacked him in the cheek. And, well, the young Christian man, he turned the other cheek. Well, the guy hit him even harder on that cheek and knocked him down. Well, this young man got up and he just whooped the tar out of the other guy. He just whooped him. And the bystander walked up and said, hey, he said, I saw what happened. You know, I hit you and you turned the other cheek, you know, and he hit you again. Why didn't you just leave it at that? Well, the young man said, well, the Bible says to turn the other cheek, and I only had one cheek to turn. The Lord didn't tell me what to do after that, so I did what I thought I ought to do. So, you know, we make our decisions on how we treat people, what we should do. But we're supposed to give them what they need, not what they deserve. Give them what they need, not what they deserve. It says we're to overcome evil with good. That's how we battle it. There's a choice that we have. We have to make those choices. But again, we have the ability and the power to overcome them because of the Spirit who allows us to overcome evil with good. Or we can let the evil take over. You know, we can go ahead with the judgment and do what we want to do because what I want to do is right. You know, we cannot care what God's Word said or what God says because I know best. This is what I've decided to do. And then we can say they don't deserve it or wish bad on them and let bitterness and anger take us away from being everything God wants us to be. That's our choice. Or we can overcome it to our betterment and the glory of God by overcoming evil with good. I say Ezekiel 7, 1 through 4. I know this is talking about Israel, but I think this is talking about the end times as well. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all of your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity. I will not spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and for the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am Lord. No, God will repay. No, that's not our job. God has the authority. And who wants to see anyone go through God's wrath? It's going to be a terrible thing. You know, he's talking about the end is upon you. He unleashes his anger. There is no pity. He will not spare them. You get repaid for your conduct. Not somebody else's. Your conduct gets repaid. It's God's judgment. And then he says, then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, they've got the opportunity now, but they're going to know eventually, one way or the other, that the God is Lord. But we need to overcome and show the good before them. Before that happens, because if not, then we failed to love God and love others test that he's given us, then we'll also be judged accordingly. You know, those are our choices. You know, we're here to draw people to him, and we don't do that by us judging others, but we love them and pray for our enemies, and you know, and it's not easy, but God loves them too. God doesn't love what they do. He doesn't love that at all. He hates what they do. But he loves them as a human being. And he still wants them to come. And there aren't any lost causes. You know, as long as they're breathing here on the earth, they have an opportunity to come to the Lord. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. And then we're going to have communion after that. But I want to go to close out with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following it with its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You know, before you think about judging someone and thinking they don't deserve something, remember we were all a lost cause. We were all dead. Everyone was dead in sin. And all of us deserved the punishment and the death. But it says, but God, because of his love for us, made us alive in Christ. And it's only by grace we've been saved. You know, grace that everyone needs. We need to give. A grace we should show as being grateful for. And we can show it by overcoming evil with good. So, the invitation's open if you want to come forward, or you can pray right where you're at. But take this as another time as we come to communion of, you know, really examining ourselves. You know, where we were at, do we really appreciate that grace that we have? Are we extending that grace that we have to others? Are we loving others? Are we loving God like we're supposed to? Or are we in a judgment mentality, deciding how others should be treated, even the evil ones, you know? But he asks us to pray for them, to pray for our enemies. And those are enemies that are doing the evil things, but they still have the opportunity to come to Christ. And it's our job to present that opportunity. So let's pray. Father, I thank you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your message. Just help us to not be a judgmental group, Lord. Help us to discern, Lord. You give us discernment, but leave the judgment to you. Help us to just be obedient to your word, to love and to love others, to give grace where it's needed, to overcome evil with good. Lord, just help us to be strong in that. Help us to be steadfast in that. Help us to draw people by being what you want us to be, which is showing love to others, which is overcoming evil with good. Lord, by showing the fruit of the Spirit that's inside each one of us. Lord, help us to be strong in that. Forgive us when we fail. Convict us when we fail. But help us to be aware of the opportunities we have. Help us to be aware of, to be in prayer for those that seem to be all against us, Father, that they would come to a saving grace of you. And Lord, but ultimately, you are the discipline. You are the one that decides. You're the one that judges. Father, we just ask for your wisdom. The counsel of the Spirit in our lives that would allow us to be and help us with our choices. We know they're ours. Help us to give us wisdom to make the right ones. Father, let us look inside before we look at others. Lord, it's an individual thing between us and you. It's not a group affair. It's a one-on-one that what we do, it matters with you, and we're responsible for ourselves. There's no comparison. It's between us and what we choose and you. So, Father, help us in that. Again, give us wisdom and guidance. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.